The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You are listening to I Am Refocused Radio with your host, Shamaya Reed. This show is designed to inspire you to live your purpose and regain your focus. And now, here's your host, Shamaya Reed.
Hey, welcome to I Am Refocused Radio. We are here once again today. Man, we have a true honor having a special guest right here in San Antonio, Texas. We have a Lieutenant Colonel Jason Pike. He served over 31 years in the United States Army as both as enlisted and officer. And man, does he have a powerful story for y'all today. And also, he has a book that we're going to be pushing. It's A Soldier Against All Odds. First and foremost, I just want to welcome you to the show, Jason, and say, how you doing, man?
Hey, thank you, Shamaya. I appreciate being here. I'm honored to be on your show. And yeah, I got a lot of wild stories and a lot of education to go with it. Yeah.
And first and foremost, man, this is a military city, San Antonio, so I just want to take the time to say thank you for what you have done for your country and kind of just give us a backdrop story. How did you get involved in the military?
Oh, I joined when I was 17 years of age. I had failed the first grade, and I went in high school. When I joined the Army, I didn't think there was much there out for me. I joined the reserves. I joined the National Guard. And that was in South Carolina. I didn't do well at all on any type of grades or tests, and I just thought, I just got to get my foot in the door to something that's larger than life, larger than myself, and that's kind of how I went about it.
Yeah. And when you started, I mean, did you also have any family prior who also were in the military? What was that picture like for you?
Yeah, my father had joined the Navy, and he did it for the GI Bill. He wanted a free, college education, but I really wasn't doing it for him. I think my mother and father, they really wanted me to go to college, but it was verified I had learning problems, and that was probably not going to be an option. So the military is about what I was going to be looking for doing, yeah.
So kind of give us the roadmap. When you decided this is something for you, this is something you wanted to do, what was that process like? What did you have to do to prepare for that moment?
So I took the entrance exam to the military, it's a mystery to me how the hell I passed that exam. I don't really know how I did that, but I got in. I had some problems with my knees, and I lied to the military. I said, no, I'm good. And so they just took me in, and it was National Guard, reserves. And then from there, I went active duty. But really, I think in the very beginning, just going to that 1983 basic training boot camp, it was sort of a big change to me. I was all the instructions, do this, do that, do this. It was like drinking water out of a damn fire hose, and I was not adjusting. I was not adjusting that well. And so what they did was they sent me to a criminal correctional facility at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, because I just wasn't adapting that well. It was sort of one of those scared straight programs, and it did scare me. And I came out of there all bloodied and broken up at the age of 17, and I decided – I got my stuff together a little bit better after that, and I did graduate that facility. Graduated basic training, and I got out of that facility, and I went on to complete 12th grade. So in high school, so I did this training between my 11th and 12th grade year of high school. That's kind of how the early years were set up.
And once you were in, and once you started to get a hang of the whole routine, what was your experience like on your first mission, and how were you prepared for that mission?
That training really set me up as far as, you know, they strip you down naked as far as they take everything civilian off. You cut your hair and everything else, and then they stress you out and they build you up as a soldier. That damn near worked really, really well, and I kind of look back at that as the building block, like the basic block. And then I told myself, even though the experts say I can't go to college, and I can't do this and that. I decided to disagree with them, and I did go to college. I did go to ROTC. I went through the Reserve Officer Training Corps and got a scholarship, believe it or not. And I looked back. I thought I started doing very, very well. And I wasn't on, you know, when I went to college in the reserves, I wasn't on the, you know, four-year plan. It wasn't anything hard. It was education, and it took me a little bit longer. I had to go into a junior college. Everything I did was from the bottom, not only in rank and at age 17 and with problems learning and adjusting to things. I went ahead, went to the junior college, and transferred into a larger university, Clemson University in South Carolina. And it pretty much went on from there. I did become an officer. I surprised the hell out of everybody. I think this is an inspirational book. A lot of people ask me why, because I surprised so many people, even myself, because I just, one of those things, I just never quit. And I had a, that when I went to that criminal correctional facility and I was broken up and beaten up, I always look back at something like that thinking, I can get through about damn near anything I want to if I set my mind to it.
You end up being Lieutenant Colonel Jason Pike.
Yes, so that's a senior executive in the Army. So I started as a private and went up the ranks. Again, how in the hell? So how in the world did you do this? Everybody, I said, well, this is a good story, and it was nagging at me for a long time, and it's just one darn thing after the next as far as a lot of the hiccups in this story. I am the author. I am the narrator of the book. And I'm looking at it as just an inspirational. This book kind of scares me in many ways because there's just so many fiascos and failures and screw-ups. And that's my life. And I'm opening it up to you. And that vulnerability is one of the difficult part. I mean, I would rather go to war in Afghanistan than I have to open up. But I had to go through a process to get this stuff out of me. And you got it there on my book.
Listen, I'll be focused radio talking to our awesome guest today, the Lieutenant Colonel Jason Pike, and tie this for our audience with the stories of you in service. What's some of the things that you look back on and like, wow, I made it through that?
Whew. Well, I almost, there's a famous story out there where almost, we have a term in the, drowning in poop. I almost did that. I almost drowned. Night land navigation, South Korea, walking alone at night on one of my first tours overseas. I was a young man. And what it was is we have to display our competencies of following a map and a compass and navigating in the woods or wherever. In case you got lost or in case you're trying to lead troops. I was out there doing an exercise at night alone, along with other soldiers that were out there. Well, they use fertilizer to fill in the ditches. They use night soil or feces to put on the crops out there. And there was a ditch full of it. I knew it was there. I could smell it. I tried to stay away from it. Well, that stuff's slippery. I slipped in, went into my neck, and I was going down. Now, we have the term drowning in poop or being up creek, but this was real. This is real life. Here I am. I'm going to die. My last name is Pike, and I don't want to be called Poopin' Pike or Pike Dies in Poop, and that's going to be my legacy. And I just, it was like a quicksand material. It was taking me down. My gag reflux was there. And I said, oh, God, this is horrifying to me. I never had a family. I never had a wife. I've never done a lot of things. And this is how I'm going to die. And this is not right. So I started to make a very, very slow caterpillar motion. I got up on top of it, and I eventually low crawled out. First thing I did when I got out, I was relieved. I felt so good. I turned on my back and looked up to the stars, and I said, God, why do you put me in this? It's always one thing after the other, it seems. And I had another problem. I needed to save my face. In other words, I didn't want all the other soldiers to know about it because it was still be laughed. There'd be all kind of jokes forever. And so I said, now I got to find a way back to camp safely and secretly. And first thing I did, I was a mob of poop. I rolled around like a dog does to get the bulk of it off. After I did that, I said, well, I see a Korean farmhouse out there somewhere. I know where I'm not supposed to talk to a Korean family, but I got to get some help and get back to camp. And so that's what I did. I walked to this Korean family's home. I don't speak Korean. They don't speak English, and we're not even supposed to go there, but I was trying to save my embarrassment there. I went in there. I knocked on the door of the farmer's house, and I go, 안녕하세요, 안녕하세요. And the woman of the house looks at me and goes, agu, agu, agu. That means boo, ooh. And so she motioned me to strip down naked, and I did in front of a complete stranger. And I gave her everything except my map, my compass, and my rifle. And I was barefoot naked in front of her, and she motioned, a lot of hand language and a lot of hang language was going on, and she motioned that she was going to find me that next morning and give it all to me clean. And that's what she did, basically. I walked back to camp naked, barefoot naked, also being careful to stay away from any soldiers so they wouldn't see me out there naked or couldn't smell me either. And I went back to camp, made it back to camp safely, brought my stuff out, cleaned up. She came in that early dark morning, about 5:30 in the morning, gave me everything clean. And only one person knew about it, but now y'all know about it. But, it, you know what, there's two things that went right that night. I didn't drown it. That's one thing. And number two, I saved my face. Now, I failed that course, but I went on to get it. It's the expert field medical badge. That's a big thing in the medical department here in the military. And it took me two more times to get it. But what I'm saying is I never quit, and I never quit really on anything. And I think a lot of this stuff, and is you're going to find inspiration and hope, just like that crazy, bizarre event there. There was many other ones, okay? Some of them were that was my fault. I slipped. But there's other ones later on that were not my fault. But it's just one darn thing. It's like life, you know, life, ups and downs of life, yeah.
And when you are looking at the process of you inside the military, it sounds like, you know, you really had that focus that I'm always going to overcome whatever comes my way. How did you maintain that focus to continue to press forward despite what came against you?
I would focus on those very small chunk success, okay? So even though falling in that poop was considered a failure of that event, I thought in my mind, optimistic, that I had gotten out of it and I saved my face. And I thought, and also, I didn't freak out. I just didn't go crazy. And I think a lot of people would have just gave up life, maybe. And I thought, well, I can focus on those things. I've done this before in the past. I've done this now. And I would focus on those little building blocks to keep the success going forward. And so that's kind of how my mind was working, and just focusing one step in front of the next and going forward. Yeah.
And being a lieutenant colonel, when did you notice that, like, in the time of being military, where you was like, you know what, I can end this on a great note. I can have a great military career. At what moment did you say, okay, I can really do this on a high level?
When I became lieutenant colonel, that was I got selected to go to command a unit in Afghanistan, and I thought this was going to, in my shirt I've got on now is from Afghanistan. A sergeant put it together from there, and I thought this will be my definition. I'll be a commander over there. I'll come back, and I'm going to do well. I'm going to bring all my troops back home, and this will be my thing. All right, I had been through many, many operations other than war, lots of deployments overseas, but not in a true combat zone. And so I did. I did very, very well. We did very, very well there. And I came back, and that was the highlight of my career. And I thought then I was going to start to go ahead and retire pretty soon after that.
And for the younger adults out there who have a passion and they have the idea that they too want to serve their country, based on what you went through and your experience, what are some of the things that they should know before they join the military?
I think you're going to do better than most if you just do a few things right, that you know, show up at the right place, show up at the right time, and show up with the right attitude. Attitude, they say, is everything. So even if you don't know anything, all right, it just show up, do your best. That says always do your best. The people will take note of it, okay? And so just show up at the right time, right place, maybe a little bit before the right time, because you'll get to end. So, and then just do the basics, the very basics of that nature, and maybe some physical fitness and grit, and get some physical fitness in you. Sporting activities are wonderful for teamwork and things of that nature, any type of sporting activity. That's going to set you up pretty well for the military, yeah.
Once again, listen to Army Focus Radio, talking to our guest today, Lieutenant Colonel Jason Pike. You can get his amazing book, A Soldier Against All Odds. You can get it on Amazon. You can also visit his website, jasonpike.org. And for our audience here in San Antonio, when you look at the way the military is and when you left the military, looking back, Were there anybody out there that was like your mentor or someone who was just always there for you, encouraging you to always keep your head up?
My father was a great mentor to me. Not that he was career military, but that he was someone I knew that believed in me. So when times got tough, I would talk to him a lot. And so, I didn't have a true military mentor. That's something you want to have. You want to have a mentor that's in the service or someone, a friend, you can knock it off. Now, I did talk to the chaplain just for spiritual and help. The military chaplains, they have a – you can come in there anytime and talk to them about things when you get down. And, yes, there's times when mentally I felt like giving up in many places, but I just kept on going. But, yes, if you can have some friends and trusted friends and mentors out there, you need to also rely on them. That's one thing I could have done better. I relied on mostly my father and my immediate family.
And kind of create the picture for the audience, too, like being in the military, there's a lot of requirements you spoke on, you know, be there on time, be knowing where you're at. But what was some of the process like in preparation before you were given a mission? Like what was the whole picture and how they prep y'all?
So before going to war or Afghanistan, we had a series of training events that would occur. So before you even get into war, at least when I went in, they have to validate you to make sure that you're not lame, lazy, or crazy, or just getting in there, and make sure you're healthy, you're not, you know, not crazy, not pregnant, not everything. So they have to, and then competently, you have to go through another series of weapons testing and things of that nature. So we did two iterations of training before we went there, and just to make sure everything is good with all the troops and we know what to do. And I did a lot of that training. And so once I got into Afghanistan as a manager, as a lieutenant colonel, it was kind of easy because I just kind of walked around through management. Yeah, there was incoming rounds and things of that nature and IED bombs and things, but we had been trained and mentally prepared for that stuff. And my soldiers lived through it. I lived through it. And it was really just the pre-training, just like you say, you want to do all the training you can before you get there. And then once you get there, it's sort of going to not – it wasn't that bad for us, at least in our location that we were at. Yeah.
And when you are looking – when you was at the point of your time in your career where you were looking over soldiers and managing them, what were some of the things that you did to encourage them to keep them sharp?
Oh, positive reinforcement, any type of an award, any type of thing. I can say good things about them in front of people or just recognize them, give them awards, and give them recognition. The power of reinforcement, that really worked well. And also be humble and not be like you're better than them. I never thought that they were better than me. Even though I have a rank, I just walked around through had a very humble, still do, have a humble existence. And we're all in it together, and I'm no better than you. And you know what? I need to be taken care of, and you need to be taken. We all need to take care of each other. And so my dad had died right before Afghanistan, and I told my troops that I was not mentally prepared too well because I need help myself because I'm just grieving. I was grieving my father while I was in Afghanistan, so they were helping me, probably helped me more out than anything else while I was over there.
Yeah. And when that period of your life where you – when you did lose your father – how did you keep yourself clear on mission, and how did you get through those tough moments in life?
That was hard, one of the hardest times in my life, I'll tell you, because I'm leaving him and my family support network, and I'm going overseas in a war zone. I had been prepared for war, and that's stressful of itself, but to leave that support system behind, and also your father – you still haven't gotten through. I had to go through mental health counseling. I had to work on the – I did a number of things. I went to counseling. And that didn't help as much as working out on the elliptical. I jumped on an elliptical, and then I went through a visualization process of the good, the bad, and the ugly of my life and my father. And I cried on the machine. I got mad on the machine. I had various emotions on the machine, and it was a vomiting effect. I almost went to a place where I could get out of Afghanistan because I wasn't in a straight mindset. I was going to be a leader in war, and my mind was focused on my father and trying to get through grief. How in the world am I going to go over there and command troops when my mental stability is not – my stability is not there? And I did think about that, but I had an uncle that told me, he says, what would your dad think about you getting out of war zone just because of he dying? And I said, well, okay, I'm going to go ahead and pick myself up. And it was that elliptical. It was a left, right, left type of a vomiting process that I went through. But you got to allow yourself to have all the crazy emotions that come out with grief. Grief is just a wicked event. It is a subject of its own. So that's kind of how I worked through that. And when I was in Afghanistan, I was also working with grief, walking around the airfields, lifting weights, and I would go off and cry on my own or get mad and things like that. Yeah.
You listen to Refocus Radio, talking to our awesome guest today, Lieutenant Colonel Jason Pike. Go get his book, A Soldier Against All Odds, and you also go to his website, jasonpike.org. And I went through, you know, your website. I know you have pictures in your book, but when you look at the different points of time and all these photos of you and your career and your military, I mean, against all odds, what sticks out to you as far as, man, I was able to accomplish my goals, and I was able to, you know, do amazing things in the military.
Whew, when I look at one of those photos where I'm in my dress uniform, you're going to see some things at the top. I've jumped out of airplanes, I've jumped out of helicopters, and I got the badge it took me three times to get, the one I fell into poop with, is the expert field medical badge and things. Of course, the Afghanistan, the Bronze Star. I was constantly amazed. It's really the downs that you go through in time. And once you go into those down events, it could be I've had arrests. I've almost been kicked out of the military a few different times. But I just kept on with it. I kept on with the, you know, I kept, okay, this is how I need to do this. This is how I need to do that. And I would set it in a certain procedure to get out of these things. And so I think this book is set up a little differently where I'm coming to you from a senior person in the military, and I'm not telling you that I conquered half of Afghanistan. What I'm telling you is a personal account of someone who came from the bottom and he worked himself up slowly and methodically with a whole lot of problems along the way, especially when in my younger years, and how the world I got rid of them. A lot of things I think a lot of people would not give up. See, I'm not a Navy SEAL, but I am a soldier, and I've done more than most, and I've been through a whole lot. And it's not necessarily, the key is I started at the bottom in multiple avenues. It's not just 17, but it was someone who had a learning problem, and that learning problem did affect me with behavior and with other things throughout my career, and that's what makes this a very, very storied book. Yeah.
And when you came to the point of your career in the military, it was time for you to exit. What was that transition process like for you?
Well, I was burned out. I had post-traumatic stress syndrome. I was totally burned. I knew I needed medical help. And I was in Germany at that time. When I came back from Afghanistan, they said, hey, you did really, really good. You get anywhere you want to. I said, I'll go to Germany and I'll retire out of Germany just because it's a chill job. It was a chill job, easy job. And I'll just focus on getting out and transitioning, and that's what I did. I went ahead and started doing the paperwork for the Veterans Administration, went to the counseling, getting medical help. And then when I did transition, I just focused on mental health. That's what I did. I went to a number of programs to look at what I can do to get myself together more mentally, you know, the memories and the things and the bad. A transition's tough because you've been working that ladder, you've been going up the ranks, and you've been going to this school, that school, this job, and now it just stops. And I didn't think I could get a job at that point just because of my mental condition, so I wanted to focus on my mental health and just to try to regroup myself. And then later on, after I did that for a period of years, then I went on and started writing this book and doing other things.
Yeah. And for veterans out there, we have a lot of veterans here in San Antonio. And are there any support groups or any organizations that you're a part of where veterans who are listening, they can also do research and join?
Yeah, so the right here in San Antonio, they got Wounded Warrior Project that has a number of outlet sources. It's like a one-stop shop here in San Antonio, Texas. That's a good group to go to. Also, there's Operation Comfort. It's a bike riding organization. Not necessarily – okay, you go to Wounded Warrior Project or you go to Operation Comfort that are here in San Antonio. And what you're going to find is just go there, hang out a little bit. You're going to find other resources out there. If that don't fit for you, there'll be something else. there was something about there's a mountain biking group here as well. I've just joined their Facebook, but it's a mountain biking group that you could get on. But I think a lot of people look at mental health as you go over here, you take this drug, or you go to the doctor, and you go here, and you do this, and you do that. That's not necessary. That might work for you, but it may not. It doesn't work for me, but it may work. So you have to try a number of things. Now, just frankly, I don't believe in the medicines because they just didn't work for me. They screwed me up more than anything else. So I'm looking at other things. It might be fly fishing. It might be riding a bike. It might be this or that. But you don't know. You got to go out and check it out and try it. But there are a number of resources out there. I tell you what. And I look at it as nonprofit activities. Now, the Veterans Administration, they have winter sports clinic. They have summer sports clinic. It's actually a clinic. I mean, that you go to. Winter sports clinic is in Aspen, Colorado, through the VA. Go there, ski, snowmobile, whatever. Check it out. There's one also summer clinic is in San Diego. And so the Veterans Administration, they offer these outdoor clinics, which I'm sort of partial to. I kind of like those. Anything outdoors, that's just me, though. No, there's a whole lot of things out there. I think a lot of folks don't even realize because I didn't realize it until I got out and started going to some of these activities.
Last question I have for you is, someone listening right now, maybe they don't have a military background, but they do want to support military veterans. What is the best way a civilian can support those who have served their country?
Well, other than just giving funds to the veterans organizations like Disabled American Veterans or the Wounded Warrior Project, you could ask for volunteer. I mean, even in the Veterans Administration down at Audie Murphy, you could ask to volunteer, maybe help drive the little cart around for the folks who are disabled that are out in the parking lot. There could be a number of other volunteer activities they have. And so I would call them up and ask, and they should have a volunteer coordinator. Operation Comfort and all the other different organizations, they'll probably have something for you to do, whether it be your time, of course, or your money. Yeah.
You've been listening to Ivory Focus Radio. We'll be talking to our guest, Lieutenant Colonel Jason Pike. Go to his website, jasonpike.org, and make sure you go check out his book. It's A Soldier Against All Odds. First and foremost, man, I want to say thank you for your time, sir.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate being here.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.